שמור על טוב ומבורך ברשות הרב מרת התורה, ברשות הרבנים החשובים congregants, president and all attendants, Kahal Kadosh. I am a little uncomfortable that I was chosen to come and deliver this derash, to speak in front of Talmidei Chachamim and people that are well versed. I'm at a great disadvantage because what can I say to the Kahal that you haven't heard already, either from your great rabbi or that you learn yourself from the Sfarim HaKidushim? And I fear that if I say something and I'm redundant, so you'll say, you brought us someone to tell us something that we know already, and just to repeat it with a Sephardi accent. But he's telling us stuff that we can take off the bookshelf. So I have no choice but to say something that I was Mahadesh, is Kaltadish Maya. So I know you didn't see it in any book, unless I was mechaven to the Tzadikim or the Gedolim, which I'll be happy. So please accept this Tzadik Torah as a novel thought that we worked on this week as I looked at the Tzadashah. I'll tell you where the Dirash begins. The Dirash begins with somebody in our synagogue asking me an innocent question, thinking that the answer is going to be a simple answer, and it's not that simple. He says, Rabbi, forgive me for asking, but could you explain to us the secret of this masveh? What do you mean masveh? What's your problem? No, he says, we read at the end of the Perashah that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down after the second Luchot. And there's a certain radiance, a glow from his face. Karan Ol Pnei Moshe. I was once in Naples, Florida. It's on the west coast. I was in a hotel and the concierge saw I had a big yarmulke on. So she said, I see you're Jewish. I said, yes. She says, where are your horns? I said, where are my what? I said, your horns, the Jews have horns. She says, you're hiding them under that big hat, correct? There are a lot of women till today, I never saw Jews before, they think they have horns. It's from this pasuk. Karan Ol Pnei Moshe, there's pictures. We don't know pictures of Moshe. We might have a picture of the Rambam's menorah, but we don't have a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in the picture books, they show him with two rays of light coming out of his head. So it looks like Chas V'Shalom horns, but it's not. It's the radiance, the brilliance. Anyway, he covered his face with this masveh. So the fellow in the synagogue asks, why now? Why all of a sudden now he's covering his face? Now it started to glow. It wasn't glowing after the first report, only after the second report. And what's the purpose? Why not let the people enjoy the light? To be honest, I always thought it was blinding to the people, so he had to cover his face as a filter. It could be that's true also. But this is the question that began me to investigate a little bit. So I go back to the main theme of the Perashah, which is obviously the greatest national tragedy for Am Yisrael. Egel HaZahav, we're still paying for it today. Yom Pogdi, Ufakati Alim. And whenever we talk about Egel, or any sin for that matter, we have to approach it as a doctor would approach it, a patient. An amateur doctor, or a novice, he treats symptoms. But of course, if you only treat symptoms, they can come back, they can recur. The doctor says, well, you have a cold. That's a symptom. So he gives them some medicine or some, you know, antibiotic of some sort. But if he doesn't, look at the root or the origin, it'll only come back again after he finishes his medicine. Whenever we talk about sins, I understand the sin is head to eye, no question. But you don't have to ask what led to head to eye. You know, it's not enough for rabbi to get up and say, Rabotai, they worship the Egel, it's a sweet worship the Egel, you're not allowed to worship Abodah Zarah. But then you're giving it the Rasha symptom. The purpose is to figure out what brought them to the Egel. Obviously, there was a slippery slope here that eventually brought them to it. That's the trick, because once you figure out the origin of the Egel, then you can give a good dirash. You can say, hey, don't do this, because if you do this, it'll lead to that. So you have to open up the book. You have to open up the text. And the text is very vague on this. The text just says, my quote, Perek Lamed Bet, right in the beginning. The Pasuk writes, Vayad Alam, Ki Boshesh Moshe. Moshe was Boshesh. I don't know what Boshesh means. I go to Rashi, Rashi says, it's an easy word, look at the Targum. Look at the Targum says, the aha. He delayed, it was delayed. And then Rashi gives us the whole interpretation, Moshe would have been already wasn't delayed, he actually landed on time. It's just that they made a miscalculation. They expected him on the 16th of Tammuz, he would show up to the 17th of Tammuz. So there was a Yad of Boshesh. That's not the reason why they did the Egel. And the proof is, it's Hatayah Nimazkir Ayom. There are some times in the morning shiur that I also come late to the synagogue. And I must say, to the credit of the congregation, when I come late, they're not worshiping an Egel when I walk in. So coming late doesn't cause people to do Avodah Zarah. So we can't say, oh, it's because he was Boshesh. Boshesh doesn't make Avodah Zarah. Boshesh makes them angry a little, or upset, or a little agitated. But it doesn't meet Avodah Zarah. People are late, but it's not the cause. The Yerushalmi in Ta'anit comes along and says, Boshesh! Bashesh! What's Bashesh? Because they asked Moshe, when are you coming back? You're coming back in the AM or in the PM? He said, I'll be back in the AM. What time exactly? They can't give me the exact time. But I'll be back by midday. Midday is Chatzot. Chatzot is the 6th hour. So on the 16th day, they didn't panic until midday. Once midday came, and he didn't return, now they got nervous. So the Pasuk according to Yerushalmi is saying, meaning the 6th hour came and went. Once the 6th hour came and went, once the clock struck 12, and he wasn't back yet, Bashesh. So therefore, they did what they did. Now that again doesn't explain why they did the Egel. That just gives me a detail of finding why they did the Egel at 12 as opposed to 11 or 10. They did it at 12 because of Bashesh. So I have no choice to do something that I'm sure you're not looking forward to, but I have to go back to Parashat Terumah, where it talks about the Mishkan. Now here's what you have, we call it Mishkan. This is the Bi-week. For the past 2 weeks we talked about Mishkan, and for the next 2 weeks we're talking about Mishkan. So we have a week off. It's complicated, the Mishkan. It's a lot of details that people struggle with. But I have no choice to go back to the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, I mean, obviously you know why it's called the Mishkan. Mishkan is a covering. The Mishkan was originally open roofed and then the covering, like you cover any building with a roof. One of the roofs of the Mishkan was called Mishkan. And the Torah goes into great detail to tell me that that roof was made up of 10 skins, And it gives me the details. They took five skins and they attached them together into a panel. And then they took five other skins and they made a panel out of it. And then they attached the five skins to the five skins, so it was 10. And then they placed it over the roof of the Mishkan, and it was a perfect fit from end to end. Then the Torah says, after that, Ve'asita yiniot izim le'ohel al ha-Mishkan. It's above the layer called Mishkan, there was another layer. That layer was called Ohel. And the Ohel, it says, was not made up of 10 panels, but it was made up of Asher Esnei Ohel. 11 panels. The Torah tells us that they took 5 Yiriot and put them together. And then with the hooks, they attached the 5 Yiriot to 6 Yiriot. And then they spread it across. Now, it's easy to do the math. If 10 Yiriot is a perfect fit, so that means 11 Yiriot is going to be oversized. Why would they make a roof that's thicker than the area that it needs to cover? This is the question that I don't ask, but the Kashiya Kadosh asks on the Pasuk, where it says, "V'chafalta et ha'iriyah ha'shishit." The sixth iriyah, which is the sixth panel, which is the extra, it's going to drape almost like the tablecloths on this table. But if you look at the end, they drape over. That's done by design. So there had to be a certain carryover of the sixth iriyah. After it finishes covering the top, it's going to drape over the side. Actually, it's going to drape over the entrance of the Mishkan. And she says, why? And she writes something amazing. That's amazing, actually. That the Mishkan comes to symbolize the bride. Kala, not any bride, but Kala Sinua, modest bride, that has a veil over her face. So when you walk into the Mishkan, you see the veil right in front. That is, the veil is not wide open. It has to be colored. There's a certain imagery that the Mishkan is supposed to arouse into a person's imagination. When he sees the entrance of the Mishkan, especially the Yash Mishit, he sees Kalat and Wah, he sees a modest bride. Like you go to a wedding, you see a veil over the face of the bride. That was a very important message that the Torah is teaching us. The Ohel, that roof, represented Tzniut, modesty. But it's more than modesty, because you shouldn't misinterpret that modesty only means a veil on the face or clothes, although that's a big part of modesty. But of course, modesty is a result of something greater. And that's what it says in the Gemara, that the Jewish people are known for three traits. Jewish people are Baishanim, Arachmanim, and Gomle Hasadim. Those are the three traits. Baishanim, where we have a certain shyness. Not a negative shyness, where you need a therapy to get you to become unshy. The shyness that the Gemara is talking about over there is a strength. Baishanut, Rahmanut, and Gemilut Hasadim. I want to explain just as a remnant. The Pasuk says, Ve'gavar Yisrael, the Jewish people will be victorious. Gavar is Rashi Tevot, Gemilut Hasadim, Baishanim, Rahmanim. Ve'gavar, then you're Yisrael. If you have the three levels of Ve'gavar, then rest assured you know you're Jewish. Tzniut is a result of Baishanut. How do I know? I don't have any shul. And Chabad originally didn't have to wear clothes because they know you're Moshashi. The Basuk says. Their body was in the Shaman. Not over with knowledge. Their body emanated light. Therefore, there's nothing to be embarrassed of. Why should I close? Why should I have to cover myself? Many times, not here, as the Shaman, but Hashem is this Kahal. The shame of by sometimes in our community, when we got to weddings, not everybody's dressed 100%, or even 50%. So I give them the benefit of the doubt. I have to give the Kahal the benefit of the doubt if they come to a wedding. And the Imah is making blessings. Sameach, the Samah, the Imah, we can Sameach, Achareh, we can Eden, we care them. So they think that they're in Gan Eden. So they say, you know, we came dressed or undressed because, you know, this is Adam Rishon before the Chet. So I have to remind them, I said, but when you are already holding my Adam Rishon before the Chet, the rabbis didn't get there yet. They're still holding my Adam Rishon after the Chet. Have respect for us. But that's, I'm sure, what they're thinking. We love you for Shashu. It says that that is the happens. But so clothes then become a result of Mushashu. First, after the sin, the body becomes something you want to cover. So it's not Sinu. Sinu is a byproduct of Mushashu. It says by Shani. You can dress properly, modest way. Mushashu is a great thing. Busha means you have a certain guilt or a shame or a compunction. You feel embarrassed to do things. It's because of busha that we're able to make repentance. Or because you feel a little guilty, you feel a little embarrassed, but you feel. The root word of the word teshuvah is busha. When the Nabi said Shuvah Yisrael, he was really saying first busha Yisrael. Once you bush out your friend, then you come to Shuva Yisrael. It's an integral midah. Busha means you have respect for the elders, you have respect for your parents, you have respect for your rabbanim, you humble yourself with people that are greater than you. It's a busha. It's a midah that manifests itself in many different ways, of course. And in our generation, in America at least, this is one of the things that American society has taken away, the busha. Today, unfortunately, the biggest sinners, instead of having busha, they have pride. They block the streets, make big noise, and they're publicizing all the different perversions, all the different avodot that they're doing. And the exact opposite. And because we're living in this country, through osmosis, this is going to seep into our lifestyle. We all have a certain esteem for the office of the presidency. We have a certain esteem for even candidates that run for president. But the deal today, you see that we have no busha, even in that esteemed position. Candidates can curse in public. Can say things that we never heard such things before. Now, I'm not upset that one of the candidates got into a fight with the Pope. I'm happy. That doesn't bother me. I don't sleep with that. But I'm saying the Shitata. The Shitata. That means there's no Rishad today. That you can have the Malabai will call to go after that there, partner there in public. No busha anymore. Because he started. He's allowed to start that. And I agree, I'm happy that he's there, but that's my point. There's no busha anymore. So we watch this, we hear this. So it affects us. So it desensitizes or it weakens the muscle of busha that we're supposed to have, which is even all around us. So the Mishkan is a very important item. That sixth panel is the panel of Busha. That's the Ohel. You know, Alpi Dirash, of course, when Abraham Avinu was visited by the angels, so they say, yes, where's your wife? He is in the Ohel. That she right away jumps. In the Ohel, when I mentioned Sinua Haita. How does she know it? Well, Abraham says, he never owed him. Abraham was saying, my wife, he never owed him. She's like the oil of the Mishkan. He never owed him. She has to be down to owe him. So she says, I'll be down to owe him. That's the wife. That's the Kalat Sinuah. Shemechasataya. Where is Lot, the nephew of Abraham? He doesn't want to be with Abraham. Because as long as he's with Abraham, he can't do what he wants to do. He has busha in front of Abraham. At least that much he has busha. But he still wants to do what he wants to do. So he has to leave Abraham so he can hide out somewhere in Sidon, in Sin City, and then get involved in that life. So the Pasuk says regarding Lot, Vayehav al Sidon. Vayehav, he was modest. He was like the Oed, al Sidon, until he had the Sidon. Once he had the Sidon, now Abraham's not looking at him, whatever he wants. Anyway, this is my theory. My theory is as follows. Moshe is delayed. He didn't come back by Chatzot. Here's what happens. The next pasuk writes, Vayikahalu al Moshe. Vayikahalu al Aaron. Vayikahalu is a gang of the Vayikahalu, it's like the same words like Korah, like a mob. They mobbed up against them. I'll ask you a question. You have no shame. This is Aaron that helped you in Egypt for 40 years. He's the one that went into Pharaoh every time there was a need to talk to the king, risking his life to talk to the king in a tough way. But Aaron is the spokesman. And now they gang up against the rabbi. And they don't ask the rabbi. They don't say, Moshe is late, what do we do? They give instructions to the rabbi. They say, cool. You tell the rabbi to cool, or the rabbi tells you to cool. They come along and say, get up. What are you doing? And then they have the chutzpah to tell him, Asim, Nanu, Elohim, who are you talking to? You're talking to the chief rabbi, you're talking to the Gadol HaTor. You're going to go to get, if somebody would go to Faraz Chabobadiah Yosef, or somebody would go to Rav Moshe Feinstein, or to the great rabbis, as a congregation, Kumasinam Elohim, you're going to want to facilitate or to be an accessory to Amodel Zarah. You have no Bushah to even say such a thing to a rabbi. And we all know that this is after they're coming as blood is dripping from their hands after they just took hold. My theory is that Klal Yisrael's slippery slope was they lost the busha. Things that were unheard of that were never done before, now are done. We tell rabbis what to do, we kill, we get violent, but no shame anymore. And the pasuk was coming to say they left the lesson of the sixth panel of the Mishkan. Vayar ha'anki boshesh ba'ashesh v'ki ba'ashemesh, the sun set, the sixth panel, which is the kalat sinuara ba'ashesh. Once already ba'ashesh, once already they lost the sense of shame, that sixth panel, which is the Baishanut of Pride Israel, once it left, so now they're broken with the Kvedeis. So if I'm making a speech about the Egel, I don't get up and tell the congregation, oh, don't do Egel. I say, no, you have to work on the Baishanu. You have to work on being humble and modest, not being brazen. I'm reminded of the Mishnah. As panim negeit namu boshet panim negeit ha'edin. My Mishnah doesn't say what that does mitzvot goes to ha'edin and what that does averot goes to ha'edin. Because the Mishnah, like a doctor, is giving the prognosis of why it is. Because the averot come from azut panim and the mitzvot come from boshet panim. That's the root of it. That's why there's no question in my mind that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes out, he comes back, and he sees exactly what's going on over here, the pasuk comes along and says that Moshe Rabbeinu makes a clear prognosis of what he sees. He comes along and he says, because the nation is parua. That was his prognosis. This is not Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is a result. This is an inyan of Parua. Parua, they took the veil off. took the veil off. Bakshesh. If this is correct, so we move on. When Elohim tells Moshe, okay, I'll give you a second chance, he goes up for 80 days, Salahti, and all of a sudden he comes down and his face is glowing. Karan ot panav. And Moshe Rabbeinu decides to do something very, very nahu, and he puts a veil over his face. The theory over here is that Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Egel, wanted to always remind Klal Yisrael of their sins. And by him putting the veil on his face, he's saying, that's what your Avon was. You removed the veil of Busha, and therefore the Basveil over here is Moshe Rabbeinu without having to give a speech. Speech is only words. Moshe Rabbeinu indeed puts the veil on his face, and every time they look at Moshe, they remind him, look, this is the Avon. And I have a proof to this. Because if you look at the Kli Akar, I don't have it in front of me, but it's fine. The Kli Akar on these words, Masveh, says something amazing. He's why he put the Masveh on. Not because it was blinding the people. He says because Moshe noticed that everybody was looking at him. It seems it was pleasurable to look at somebody that's face is shining. He says, and since Moshe Rabbeinu was a Baishan, he didn't want the people to look at him. So he says the Masveh was as a result of Moshe's Baishanut. The Baishan doesn't want to draw attention. The Baishan doesn't want to be the one that stands on the contrary. The Baishan plays down. Not like today, that if a person has 100, he makes like he has 1,000, he wants everybody to know, and he makes presumption. That's not Baishanut. That's Azul Kareem. So if I'm correct, according to the Kli Akar, the Masveh's purpose was to propose to the people by Shanut, which is exactly the sin of Hetaik, Kiboshesh, Kibarua. The way you teach that is not by giving a speech, but by showing that there are also by Shanut. Remember from me, so the Masveh teaches that. The only question we're left with, if this is a true theory, and again, take it with a grain of salt, I don't think I'm going to move out this. Whether it's true in the Pesukim, you could argue if I leave, but the principles are meant what I'm saying. Question then would be is, how does one attain this by Shanut? How do you attain it? It's clearly not from living in America. The Gemara says, Azul Panim comes from the Yetzirah. So God says, how do I know, by the way, the Yetzirah is Azul Panim? I have a proof that's unchallenged. Azul Panim is the Yetzirah. Please don't get offended, but if I would ask, I don't know, pick the greatest rabbi that you know. Think of the Hafez Chaim, for example. If I were to ask, then the Hafez Chaim of the Yetzirah, you have no choice but to answer yes. And then I don't think you're not breaking any of the 13 midot of Yehadut if you say the Hafez Chaim of the Yetzirah. You might be breaking it if you say you didn't have the Yetzirah. Everybody has Yetzirah. Now, could you imagine somebody going to the Hafez Chaim, trying to seduce him to make a sin? Imagine you went to the Hafez Chaim's office, and you're trying to give him something to eat that's not kosher, or to seduce him into speaking less. They kick you out of the room. You came to show the Hafez to make the Hafez to make a sin. You're brazen, you're upset, you know you're talking to, but the Hafez Chaim has no shame. He'll go even after getting a letter, he'll go after the biggest son. He can not only that, after the years, that's like we discussed in the collective book, the house at all. That's what he goes after. I think it's a phrase of man that he can go up against them. He came even to try to make it difficult for them. So if you go after them, he goes after everyone. So the Torah said, listen, the Rabbi Yetzirah, that's the brazenness. He comes after him, he tries to take away the Busha. Barat ki Torah tibam. The Torah is its anecdote or antidote. The antidote against the Yitzhak is Torah. I have a proof. This is not my mother saying that. Torah gets rid of the Yitzhak, because you see this week's parasha, it says the Torah was written on the Luchot, Mizeh Mizeh in Ketuvim. It was written through the tablets. Why? The Gemara Kiddushin compares the Yetzirah to a rock. The Gemara says, "Im Eben Hu, Im Allah." So I saw the Sefarim Kiddushin that you see where the Torah was on the Luchot, it was the rock. Because it was Mizeh Mizeh. When there's Torah, there's no Yetzirah. The rock doesn't exist. The Torah was written in the air space between the Luchot. The rock is only around the Torah, but when the Torah is dissolved, there's no heaven. In heaven only Mawah. That's the secret of Mizeh Mizeh to me. But nonetheless, Torah is the repair against it. When we study Torah, brings us to Sidihur, to Vaishanut. That's probably why the Orel was made up of five panels and six panels, because Torah Shebichtav, it's Hamisham Shel Torah, and Torah Shebaal Peh, Shisha Sebe Mishnah. So the five and six of the Orel represents the Torah Tevalim. And with Torah Tevalim, then you have the Sinihut, and you have the Vaishanut. Finally, this might explain the secret of the Masveh. Because as you know, the Yetzer Hara is an angel, like all angels. The angel of the Yetzer Hara is called the Samech Men. As you know, we don't say it too loud, but that's what he's known as. I've said that name is very appropriate because the Hebrew word for tax is mas, which is also Samech Men. Nobody likes taxes. Uncle Sam. That's a direct result. The IRS is a direct result of the Tzemach Man. His birthday is April 15th. So you see over here that Moshe Rabbeinu uses a very phenomenal word in order to talk about this covering on his face. Masveh, the first letter is Tzemach Man, which represents the Satan. And the last two letters is Vav Heh, which represent the six panels and the five panels, which represents Shisha Sefer Mishnah, Hamisha Hushet Torah. So the Masveh is reminding them that this was Yavon. Bashesh. You remove that sixth panel of the Kalat Sinu'ah. And therefore the Satan is able to bring you to a very, very low level. Therefore the Masveh reminds them of Barat Yetzirah, Barat Yitzirah Tevanim. And the lesson to ask is obvious. And of course, the talk is left in the realm of Derash, because far be it for me to come give Musar to anybody, let alone on a guest. Although that's usually the best one to give Musar, because then I leave and there's no recourse. And you don't have to invite me to next year's on a remark, I'm not offended. But I didn't come to give this speech, it's supposed to be given in other places where the talk is more halakha than ma'aseh. But everybody can use a chizuk. And then we don't talk to people, only to those that are interested in affecting change to themselves. And there's infinite levels that we can work on this. And this is the Musar to me. When I have to give a speech about the Egel, I don't talk about the Egel. The Egel is a symptom. My talk is always on the Boshesh. Boshesh, which interesting, Boshesh, but so to your Busha has the same letters, Boshesh, is, so probably it's correct what I'm saying. This is the Midah. Mm-hmm. The respect of elders, the respect of Tabid HaChamin, the respect of authority. When our grandparents do such a thing, when our grandparents talk like this, when they behave like this, America has already gone very to the extreme on this Midah. But it doesn't mean we have to follow it. On the contrary, we have to be vigilant. So we're not influenced by the society. That's what we say in the Birkat HaMazon. שתהיה יראתו על פנינו לבלתי נחתה. When is יראה on the face, when is a בושה, when is a shame, then it will not be stops us on sinning. But when is the God in it, that יראה, that בושה, and work under the biggest pressure. My prayer is that Boyama will give us the cohort to commit ourselves to the tradition of Hanishah, Moshe Torah, Kishas, to the Mishnah, to the Vav Heh, to the Ohed. Amen, Ba'ohed. Baruch Hashem, this congregation has a great Ohed. Beautiful in aesthetics, beautiful in the quantity, in the quality that comes out of this Bet Knesset, as I understand. There's a lot of Torah being studied. You're committed to the Vav Heh. The Samech Mem has a difficult job trying to penetrate these doors of the Holy Midrash. And whenever we come to the Menavim Malkah, it's a time to strengthen the strengthen the tent, strengthen the this roof that protects us. Then Be'ezat Hashem will be able to give a boost to the Busha muscle, to the Be'ezat. And then Be'ezat Hashem will be fulfilled as the Gavan Yisrael. We'll be able to fulfill the Gavan, not only the Hashem Tehuot, but in the literal sense, Amis will be victorious. Victorious against the Yetzer, against the Satan. And clearly then, whatever will send us down, great Shefa and Beracha to us and our families. Amen.
Amen.